This is Mythical.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's the difference between a barbecue and a cookout, and why doesn't anyone invite me to any of them?
You know why.
Oh my god, that was one time.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, this, like all good ideas, came from a stranger on the internet complaining at me.
Oh, I thought it was just you.
No, well, okay, this is a topic that we've talked about discussing because the term barbecue, it's a little bit confusing. People think they know what it means, then if you actually press them for a definition. And this happened because I think we were doing the Busting Hot Dog Myths episode on the Mythical Kitchen YouTube channel.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, when I go to a barbecue, I like to, and somebody said, stop calling it a barbecue, that's a cookout. But for me, I grew up calling any sort of outdoor grilling large gathering a barbecue. But if you were to actually ask me, what does barbecue mean? I would be like, well, obviously it is an indirect cooking method of low and slow heat using live fire that generally, you know, dates back to a lot of Black American cooking innovation in, let's say, like the 1600s. But I'm still going to a barbecue and grilling up some dogs on a propane grill and drinking 19 Coors Lights, baby.
Yeah, finding the definition is going to be difficult, but I'm glad we're on this journey together.
Just you and me, Nicole.
I think it's going to be complicated.
Well, what do you think it is? If you had to just make a definition of barbecue right now.
A barbecue or barbecue?
Let's just say
there's
barbecue.
There's a difference
I know,
the two.
I agree with
going
that.
To a barbecue and eating barbecue are two different things
If you go to somebody is manning a propane or womaning a propane grill or non-binarying. Listen, you can do anything to a propane grill you want to do. Gender not specific. Mm-hmm. But and somebody's like grilling up hot dogs and you got a bunch of chips and potato salad out there. What do you call that event?
A good day at the park.
I
don't necessarily, I personally, in my like lexicon, I don't use the word, I'm going to a barbecue later. I just say I'm going to go hang out at a friend's house and chances are they have a Traeger grill.
Interesting.
Or two.
But like, you don't have a name for that specific event.
No,
you wouldn't...
we're just going to go kick it.
Like, yeah, I mean.
Like, the word barbecue is not in my, it's just not in my vocabulary as much as it should be. But if I'm going to say, let's say I'm going to go to like a barbecue spot, like a barbecue joint, like Bledsoe's or Slab, which are two very delicious barbecue spots, that's different. Like, I'm going to eat barbecue. I don't go to barbecues.
It was funny. When you said kick it, that reminded me. I got into a debate once about the difference between, quote, a kickback and a party.
This is a great, okay, segue. I am down to also dissect this if you would like, because a kickback and a party, and there's one other one. What is the other one? There's one other one.
I don't know. I only go to kickbacks and parties, and sometimes you go to a kickback that's actually a party. Sometimes
pregame.
Oh, in a pregame, yeah. And then the pregame turns into a kickback that evolves into a full-blown party.
Yeah.
But no, okay, so barbecue, if we break down the root word of it, because I think this is really important.
Okay.
This, to me, is a very historical one. The etymology, it comes from the Arawak language, which are from the Taino people that were all across the Caribbean and South America. You go to Guyana, Suriname, that's where they're speaking this language.
Cool.
But on the island of Hispaniola, they had a word, barabiku, which referred to a framework of sticks that they would set next to an open fire. So, you know, like, you ever see the Chef's Table episode with Francis Mallmann?
Where he's all like, old guy that cooks over like a flame only?
Yeah, yeah. And he'll like build a fire on like the ice sheets of Patagonia and just like stick a lamb. It looks like the lamb is crucified and he just puts it like next to the fire.
Yeah. Does he like have young lovers?
Yeah. He's
okay,
like,
yeah, he's one of those guys.
Making love to a woman is exactly like cooking a lamb.
On a fire. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, pretty, that guy.
Like, I don't know. From your, Nicole, as a woman.
Yeah.
Is that stuff cool or is that weird? Because I got the heebie-jeebies
like
watching
it.
Okay,
no.
Cool.
But I also think Khal Drogo is like the essence of manliness. So I don't know. Okay. My barometer is off.
Right, well, he's hot. He's hot. That's, you know. So the Taino people, yeah, they would make these Barbecues, and then the Spaniards got there. They're mm-hmm. like, yo, that's a pretty goddamn good way to cook up an animal. And so the term barbacoa in Spanish, which, yeah, which you know.
No way.
Go to Chipotle, the most autentico Mexican restaurant in the world.
Mucho autentico.
No, but like barbacoa literally refers to digging a pit generally, filling it with coals, covering like a whole lamb, say, in the mage leaves, the agave plant.
Sure.
And then cooking it directly over fire. So like that's where they get that from. And it's funny, I was actually on the website of my favorite barbacoa restaurant.
Which is what?
It's called Aquí es Texcoco.
Where is that?
I think it started in Mexico. Now it's like a mini chain.
Cool.
And they opened one in like Chula Vista that I've been to, but they just specialize in...
Oh, rad.
And there's one in LA, but it's like kind of deep cut place. But they do whole lamb barbacoa, the OG way. Mm-hmm. And they'll also do like whole rabbit barbacoa. It's pretty cool. Oh,
I love the idea of someone coming from a foreign country and just like... Expanding
into the U.S.
It.
Dude, El Pollo Loco.
Like El Pollo Campero.
Pollo Campero from Guatemala.
Another example. Like, there's so many stories like that that just bring me joy, like, truly. And the fact that they make rabbit and lamb, do they do beef barbacoa?
I don't think they do beef.
Because who does beef? Only Chipotle does beef. And like,
yeah,
and, like,
pretty
other,
much.
Other people.
Well, actually, barbacoa does mean, in other regions, a whole cow's head that is cooked.
Yeah, that's true,
yeah.
Right?
So and so it's a regional thing.
Yeah, barbacoa just has a bunch of different...
But barbacoa just mean barbecue. Barbacoa, barbecue,
yeah,
same word.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense.
And on Aquí es Texcoco's website, it literally said mole is the OG barbecue sauce. And I was like, that's pretty rad.
Because we're so used to eating it on like boiled chicken. That's kind of like how I have it when I...
Oh, mole?
Like,
yeah. Same.
That's the way we're used to having
it. But like cooking animals over fire, like if you were to define what barbecue is, a lot of people would say that, right? Using smoke, using indirect heat to cook animals. If you use that definition, then like... People have been barbecuing for literally over a million years, probably, is when humans started to cook their food.
I believe that humans became more human once they started cooking their food.
There's reason for that. Did you read Sapiens? Have we talked about this?
I did not read Sapiens, but my dad sends me snippets of Sapiens in order for me to become a more educated person. But I don't really listen to it. I just kind of skim through. And if I see, like, I don't know, like some... image that interests me, I like stay on it.
I'm like 9 hours into the book on Sapiens. It's very fascinating.
Should I start reading it?
I'm also falling asleep while I'm driving. It's becoming a safety hazard. But that said, what I learned from Sapiens is that the reason humans started cooking meat was because, one, we got big brain energy.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Physically, we have bigger brains than every other animal, right? And brains.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it takes a lot more power to just fuel the brain, so you need more food comparatively to other animals.
Mm.
Reason lions can eat like once every 4 days or whatever, and we got to keep shoving food down our gullets.
Every day, yeah.
That's the reason I eat like meatballs every 3 hours, you know, just to keep my brain going because it's so big.
Huh. But
if you cook food, you're effectively pre-digesting it.
Oh, sure.
And
okay,
so like if you were
sense.
To just suck down raw meat, it would literally take longer. It would cause more energy to expend while you're digesting. And so cooking was literally just a way to start breaking the food down, getting more of it in us faster.
So barbecue makes us more evolved.
Barbecue literally helped us evolve.
That's incredible.
And you see, barbecue represented in the Bible. You know what I mean? You see it represented in every... They're talking about burning carcasses to sacrifice to God, you know, like the offer. Leviticus Leviticus literally
describes... Is that a barbecue
describes,
or is that just a
that's
sacrifice?
That's the question here. That's the question.
Do you eat the sacrifice?
Well, no, but the point is you're not supposed to eat it because it's a sacrifice, but you're making the best parts for God. That's what I believe. That's my version of Judaism, Nicole.
When does he come up and get it? Or her? When do they
come
up
and get it? No, but
they
literally,
I
think, describe like the pleasant godly aromas floating up from
that's
grilled meats.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I had no idea that barbecue was in the Bible.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, like, they don't use the exact word.
Well, you said it, so now I believe it. Welcome to my life, Josh. You say it and I believe it.
But now and then there is a, you know, massive tradition of predominantly Black American pitmasters dating, I mean, centuries ago and, you know, continuing now. I'm thinking like Rodney Scott, for instance, cooking a whole hog barbecue in the Carolinas, doing incredible work. And so, you know, you now have this modern interpretation of barbecue, which is very regionally specific. So you'll get Daniel Vaughn from Texas Monthly. He is a full-time barbecue editor.
So cool. What a cool job.
What a cool freaking
job. What a cool
gig. But he wrote an article that was just called What is Barbecue? And he was talking about how Pitmasters from North Carolina are like the only barbecue is whole hog cooked over an open pit. And then people in Texas will be like, no, it's got to be cow meat, it's got to be pure beef, and it's got to be cooked in an offset smoker. So even if you're like not one of the people who thinks that, yeah, cooking hot dogs on a grill is barbecue, and you know, there's still a lot of like hardliners who think that their style is the only way.
I guess we call it grilling when I think about it. Like, we're going to go grill stuff.
Sure.
Is grilling stuff barbecuing stuff?
Well, so I was reading, his name is Meathead Goldwyn. He's just a legendary barbecue pitmaster.
Is that his Christian name?
I don't know. His name's Craig.
Okay.
But if you get a moniker like Meathead and you're in the barbecuing world,
you're
not doing that. What would my nickname be?
Mistake.
That's my drag name. Yeah. My basketball coach used to call me Big Country, and I like that, but I'm not particularly
Big Country.
Big Country Bryant
that is
Reeves
so mean.
Was a basketball player who was drag, but he was also known as like one of the worst flops in NBA history.
Oh.
So, but it was meant as a, he would say it very excitedly. He'd be like, Big Country. And I'd be like, hey, Rob, good to see you.
Why do you just call you like, I don't know, like Botswana? That's a Big Country.
That's a Big Country. I do have a Botswana tank top because I love their 4x400 meter relay
yeah,
team.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, Babaloki Tebe. He's
I
a
just
great
call
runner.
You Botswana.
Nigel Amos came back from injury this year. Isaac McQuala, great.
I don't care.
God dang it.
Don't freaking care.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Anywho, so what barbecue actually is isn't that simple. You were talking about grilling versus barbecuing.
Yeah, what's the difference to that? Where is the line? Is there a line? Should there be a line?
So if you're talking to someone like Meathead Goldwyn, who, you know, basically said that if you try to draw the line between grilling and barbecuing, which some could consider direct heat versus indirect heat, right? So like grilling, for instance, right? You take the coals, you're burning wood down until they're coals, they stay hot. And you put a grate above them.
Yes.
And you cook the meat directly on that grate.
Yeah.
Right? That sounds
that's
a lot
grilling.
Like grilling. But that's also what an open pit in North Carolina looks like.
Well, there you go.
You know what I mean? So it's like is kind of direct heat.
But you move the meat away from that. From
yeah, you
those
keep
coals.
It you keep it real low heat. So if you want to call grilling just like high heat cooking.
High heat cooking. Okay.
But then if you think, you ever grilled like bone-in chicken breast?
Of course, and it just burns on the outside.
But you can't grill it on high heat, so you got to grill it on low heat. And at that point, it's like, are you barbecuing?
But you're still grilling. Does barbecue equate low and slow cooking?
I think that's what a lot of people would say, which, like, it makes sense. If you are cooking, like, especially a whole animal, which there are some people who believe that barbecue only means a whole animal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's not accessible. It's not accessible if you do that.
No. But then we also find ourselves, you know, I grew up eating barbecue chicken, right? Like 3 times a week.
Yeah, sure.
Which was we would throw chicken in an oven and then put some bullseye barbecue sauce.
Never heard of it.
On it. And so it's like there's still a far cry from that. But that's actually how we ended up in this weird place where barbecue became a word that
Verb?
Yeah. I mean, like, well, not even a verb, but like just a term that everybody is very casually familiar with.
Sure, yeah.
Barbecue flavored potato chips.
Yeah,
right?
We know what that is. Yeah.
We know what that is.
We know what barbecue chicken is.
We know what barbecue chicken is. And a lot of that comes from like the proliferation of outside grilling, which I'm really fascinated by because I don't know. I always kind of assumed people were always grilling on a patio and then like. Thinking back to the past, I'm like, I don't know that that was actually the case.
Well, it depends. Did you grow up in like a house place or an apartment place? Because you can't have apartments with grills all the time.
But you still can if you just don't care about your landlords. I'll tell you what. Because I have smoked entire racks of ribs.
Oh, my God. You never got kicked out?
No.
That's nice.
The only time I felt guilty doing something on my patio in an LA apartment was deep frying a turkey. On a patio on like
Did
a second
it
floor. It didn't explode, but like there were some tenuous situations where I was like, yo, if this falls on Ronaldo downstairs, I'm screwed.
Why didn't you just do it on the ground, like in the parking lot?
Because Ronaldo was down there and like he wasn't doing so hot. And he sometimes was just like naked. Aww. He's a very old man, and sometimes he just wander around naked, and he'd, like, want to talk to you.
So you wanted to put hot oil over
his
naked
head?
No, I
didn't
want to
put hot... No, I'm saying I didn't want to, like, go down there and start deep-frying a turkey, and then Ronaldo comes out naked and starts, like, yelling at me, you know?
Balls out?
Sometimes. He just had shopping carts just filled with, I mean, hundreds of wine bottles, and he would just, like, keep them.
He was one of those old men. Yeah. I don't like those guys. I love old men, but not that kind of old
man. He just, you know, he was trying his best. He lived
Ronaldo!
An interesting life. You know, his family owned apparently one of the first Mexican restaurants. Interesting neighbors you have sometimes.
I have very interesting neighbors.
You need to find a very cheap apartment in
LA. I get it. But like, no, like, see, like, I never, see what we did. We never, like, we never went to barbecue. We would just literally package our burgers and our hot dogs and maybe some chicken. And then we would also take kebab meat and then put that on a grill too. So like, we were like.
Are you talking like in a public park?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
the way we like to do it.
That's where I had barbecues growing up.
Yeah, but I don't know if I call them barbecues.
I know.
It feels rude and disrespectful to the
people. I agree with that. I agree.
Pit masters that are in there, they're in deep, and like their whole lives are dedicated to smoking delicious meats. And it's like me and my mom are just like putting oil on a skewer.
I know.
Like, but I guess it is barbecuing, right? Is it barbecuing or is that just grilling?
Some people would say it's not. Some people would say it is. But if you like,
what's a carne asada? Is that grilling or
carne
barbecuing?
Carne asada is the best freaking time.
Is that
of
grilling
your life.
Or barbecuing?
Well, okay, so that's really interesting, right? Because barbecue is, despite coming from Spanish, despite coming from the Arawak language, barbecue is, I would argue, the most American food, right? It's our deepest American food tradition.
Yeah.
What other food could you say is uniquely American?
I don't think America has anything uniquely American.
Like mac
about
and
it.
Cheese, even though the first word in that is very Italian.
The only,
you know what I mean?
No, I mean indigenous food.
Sure. Yeah, I mean like cornbread. And what goes better with barbecue than cornbread, right? Like for real. Like
yeah, no, you're
barbecue,
right.
Barbecue, yeah, and a lot of
Thanksgiving,
you know,
dinner. That's the most American thing I can think of.
Yeah, pretty much. And then that kind of didn't come to later, and that was a very like sort of politicized
there
thing.
You go. Yeah,
bring.
Yeah.
Barbecue is like the OG American food. So when
is,
we're.
Wow, okay.
But now we've exported the idea of barbecue elsewhere.
I have a question about that. You say it's the most American food, but didn't everybody do that kind of cooking anyways all around the world? So
yes,
isn't it just like. So calling it American is kind of like. Dumb.
No, I agree.
Not that you're dumb.
No, I agree.
No, but everyone did it. So why are we calling it American whenever like people were doing it all over the place?
I know. That's why I wanted to explore this thing correctly. Because like, so mini kebab, one of our favorite restaurants in Glendale.
Oh my God. I love it.
Shout out to the Martirosians. Armin, he started a taco pop-up. They make the best flame grilled kebabs that
Ooh,
I've ever had, probably.
Yummy.
And the wood they cook it with, you're talking about, you know, a very American tradition of barbecuing. You take the trees of the area, right? Mm-hmm. Texas uses white oak. Sometimes they'll use pecan wood, mesquite in the Southwest.
Cherry.
It's very regional. You barbecue on cherry? I guess like cherry wood smoked stuff, yeah.
Cherry wood.
That's the thing.
Alder wood.
But Armin from Armenia, he was like, yo, in Armenia, we would typically use dried grapevines.
Ooh, cool.
And he's like, I couldn't find them anywhere here until I like found this Armenian farmer who was growing them. And we'd drive up an hour to like literally clip grapevines and let them dry out a little bit. And so like, and he's cooking dark meat chicken. It's kebab, but like pretty freaking low and slow and tender over live burning grapevines, the terroir of Armenia. And I'm like, bro, that's barbecue. That's barbecue.
Does
that
he
making.
Call it barbecue?
Certainly not. No.
What does he call it?
He calls it kebab, dude. He's making kebab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See, it's just so hard. Like, this whole podcast, whenever we discuss, like, what things actually mean, like, if a hot dog is a sandwich, what is barbecue? Is the ocean a soup? Like, we're just looking at this all from being, like, two American kids. Like,
I know. Sure.
Which makes it so insular and hard for me to, like, accept.
But also for me, really beautiful.
Yeah,
because you
sure.
kind of, like, look, you extrapolate the things you grew up with to the rest of the world. What I'm fascinated with, okay, so we're talking about barbecue being a very American, very artisanal art. The best barbecuers are like, they're gods in my mind. Not
sure.
to, you know, deify people in the food industry more than they already have.
I mean, they just practice their craft for years and years and years, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's and it pays off in your freaking mouth,
too. Oh my gosh, yeah. Whenever I went to Texas, I had Terry Black's barbecue, and it was so good.
Dude, when I went to Snow's, I mean, Franklin, La Barbecue, Micklethwaite, all these freaking places.
I don't know that one. Sorry.
But it's funny if you look at a majority of Americans. There was a poll from YouGov. They asked about 8,000 American adults, quote, what main dishes are part of your ideal barbecue plate? Select all that apply. What do you think the top two dishes were?
Potato salad and mac and cheese.
No, like meats.
Pulled pork.
No.
Ribs?
No.
Chicken?
Nope.
What the
Not in the top two.
Fish.
Burgers and hot dogs, baby.
Oh, shoot.
So most people, when they think of, you know, part of your ideal barbecue,
yeah,
they think of a barbecue as cooking, you know, burgers and dogs.
Well, yeah, that's because that's their definition of barbecue.
Sure.
And that's just the American definition.
I was trying to find out, like, where this idea came from, and I found an incredible article from 1956. Food writer Clementine Paddleford, she traveled
cool
to the
name.
West. She, like, yeah, right?
Clem.
Clementine
nice name,
Paddleford
Clem.
Is the most 1950s journalist name you've ever heard. But she traveled to the West Coast of the U.S. to, like, I don't know, sort of catalog this new, like, American homeownership, domesticity, and what it looked like on the West Coast.
Okay.
And she said, everywhere the barbecue, no longer a new thing, once a fad, now a solid in the way of home entertaining. I doubt if ever again fried meats will be in the running. Almost every Western home has an outdoor barbecue, and usually a second built in the kitchen for cold weather use. Now the barbecue moves into smart dining rooms and restaurants. Charcoal broiled meats are featured served from the barbecue, centered in the dining room, presided over by a chef in a high hat. This is in the 50s, so it was like, you know, this proliferation of the outdoor barbecuing thing that kind of took it away from, say, the public barbecues in Fort Worth, Texas in 1885, where they just dig giant pits and cook whole animals for the town. They were, like, trying to sort of sell this, I don't know, kind of outdoor, kind of rugged thing. More men were coming home from the war, learning what their role in the house was. Of course, this is during the Mad Men era, so there's a lot of marketing behind the barbecues.
Sure.
Bottled barbecue sauce in 1940, Nicole, just came out from Heinz.
Give me that.
And so, yeah, I guzzle down bottled barbecue sauce.
Yeah, you really do.
But I'm saying, like, that to me is when this sort of definition switched to just, yo, we're cooking outside, we're barbecuing, we're putting barbecue sauce on our burgers, on our chicken, that's barbecue. And so it, like, doesn't, you know, isn't necessarily faithful to what I'd say the OG definition from all these beautiful artisans making their delicious foods.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that's, like, in the lexicon.
Well, my question is, again, with the international definition, like, Korean barbecue.
I know. That's another big
Japanese
one.
Japanese barbecue. Frickin' yakitori.
Let's talk about Korean barbecue.
Oh, I love it.
Because that one.
I do love it.
If y'all don't describe Korean barbecue to people who may have never had it.
Okay. So you go with your, number one, you have to go with your friends. Okay. So
you gotta
Korean
roll
barbecue.
Deep.
Yeah. You got to roll deep and you got to go with a crew of at least four or more. And you just sit around a table and there's a grill in the middle of your table and you are given raw meat to cook. Normally raw meat. I mean, And you are told to cook it yourself. And you do at a high heat. Sometimes you can go lower, but it's normally just
the
a
servers
big old
always
flame.
Try and turn the heat down for
and
you.
And then you say no.
Yeah.
No.
It's a battle.
Yeah, and then you just pick up the meat and you eat it yourself, and it's really damn delicious. Japanese barbecue is also very similar to gyukaku. Shout out, I love that place. like those. Like, what are those? If those aren't barbecue, then what is?
Right? So that's what I'm fascinated about, the word barbecue and how it's now, right, when like transposed around the world.
Yeah.
So when I ordered lunch from a Thai restaurant, we're getting it catered for a shoot, I ordered the Thai barbecue chicken. And it was chicken that had been cooked for a long time, low and slow, over an open flame, just stained with turmeric and galangal. God dang it, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, is that technically barbecue?
Is El Pollo Loco barbecue?
El Pollo al Carbon?
I mean, is
cooked
it?
Cooked low and slow over live fire, over coals.
If we say it, is it going to be okay?
And then, but again, like, the Mexican term for barbecue, like, someone, when we were talking about, is a hot dog a sandwich? And people are like, oh, hot dog's a taco. And people are like, yo, you know, in Mexico, we got, like, tortas, we got sandwiches. We literally call things on sliced bread sandwiches. We have semitas, we have pambazos.
Yeah.
We have all that. And so, like, in Mexico, it's like, yo, their barbecue is literally the OG word, barbacoa. Right. And so for them,
so
like
putting chicken,
that's an asada, right?
Like, okay. That's, so what's the difference between asada and barbacoa? Asada is just cooked on a grill.
Asada is like cooked on an open grill, and barbacoa is cooked in what's typically a dugout pit. I mean, now if you're in a restaurant, you're probably making it, you know, in a more efficient, easy way to make money for a restaurant.
Yeah.
But so, like, if once you go even just one country south, you're getting entirely different definitions of what barbecue is.
That's so fun to
me. But then you get Korean barbecue, which, you know, they're not calling it barbecue in Korea.
What do they call it in Korea?
I don't know. Maggie, can you look it up? Like, what is Korean barbecue called in Korean?
I have a feeling that whenever my husband went to Korea with, like, all his homies, it's KBBQ.
Do they call it that?
I guess to the Americans, they do.
So it literally translates to grilled meat, I suppose. But then even the term grilled is right?
Really open-ended.
Like a, I know, like a grilled cheese. That's just cooked in a pan,
oh,
homie.
Oh, a grilled cheese isn't even grilled.
I know. That's
it's
what
griddled.
I'm saying.
It's
some
griddled.
People confuse grilled and griddled. They'll say fried to mean something in a pan. Oh, a lot man. Of these terms are nebulous. The interesting thing with Korean barbecue is you'll go to some places. I think it's a place called Sutbul Jeep, I believe, in LA.
Sure.
Where they do it with live coals, I think.
Really?
I think they do it with a grate and live coals.
That's rad.
And so you're actually cooking on live coals. But then a vast majority are, it'll either be, you know, a gas flame and then like a just a metal plate with a little bit of grates in it.
Sure.
Some places, I went to one place that was like a slightly slanted cast iron.
Wow.
So the fat ran down.
I like the stones that they come and with the radish.
Yeah.
Places like that are my favorite.
Yeah, this place had the cast iron. They had an all-you-can-drink option.
Oh, yum.
For like $60, all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink. And turns out
it's
you do not need...
drink?
You do not need both. It should
well,
be one or the other. It should
pick.
Be one or the other. I went with Kevin Rigg.
Oh, my
and
God.
We were... And he and I can eat and drink like freaking crazy. And that was a bad time for
that
everybody.
That sounds like excess.
Oh, man. We just wandered just blind and
Marinas.
Full.
back. That's crazy.
But then... Okay, so we're talking
what's
about.
What's up?
Sorry, I like this topic.
I do too. I'm so intrigued. I'm trying to find the light, but I don't know. We don't have that much time in this podcast to find the light. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know if there is any light to be found. I think maybe this is just a celebration of all the cultures that like to grill meat over live fire.
Wow, I love the way you frame that.
You know,
honestly, you're right.
And I'll stop calling it a barbecue.
Yeah. What is
I
with
don't
us
need to.
Wanting,
I'm not married to it.
What is with us? Constantly defining crap. Like, maybe we just gotta let things be as they are and just, you said, celebrate them. Like, I freaking love all these examples of barbecue that we have on our sheet. Like,
but you know what I like about this,
what?
Though? Is that this is a way to find commonalities.
Sure, yeah.
Cultures, right? To say, like, what is barbecue? Let's look at all the cultures that do stuff. Tandoori chicken.
Yeah.
It's live coals in a clay ceramic oven.
Is
you ever had just a good-ass tandoori chicken?
Of course, often.
Bro, unreal.
But I don't know if I would call that barbecue. That's being
probably not.
That's oven-baked.
No, that's tandoori, baby.
Okay, tandoori.
That's just
oven-baked.
Tandoori. But that said, one of my favorite...
Don't call it barbecue.
Well, it's live coals. It's live coals.
Nah, man. You cook it in a tandoor. A tandoor is a tandoor. You get
fair.
Sorry, I just said
yakitori.
Yeah, I just said yakitori.
But
what
you said
that?
It? Oh, my bad. So, I mean, yakitori is, I mean, it's cooked over really high heat, which is part of it. But, like, experiencing the pure flavor of, like, a binchotan Japanese charcoal.
Special.
You know, that is special. That's something really special. Brushing out with the soy. And my favorite thing about all this is now you get people... Because American barbecue, the thing we're really talking about, is something special. Whether it
Absolutely.
Is cooked over an offset smoker, which is to say you have the wood smoking in a separate component that is then moving the air over the meat in another chamber.
Sure.
You know, which is Texas barbecue, I believe, is big on offset smokers.
So,
or you're using the live wood over an open pit.
Yeah.
Doing that low and slow and getting a ton of smoke penetration, which to me is the biggest difference, is the penetration of smoke.
Yeah, you don't get that everywhere.
No, and I'm trying to think of other, and some people may not exactly like that. But that to me is
That's
like a defining characteristic. And now... America being the melting pot that it is, you get a bunch of like diverse pit masters who are like, yo, we make this sausage in Cambodia, right? With like fermented pork and chilies and galangal and lemongrass and thankity thank. What if I cooked that in an offset smoker and made it a hot link?
Right?
I'm thinking of the best barbecue I've ever had was there were these Vietnamese Houstonian pit masters. Who came and cooked with Mexican-American pitmasters from Heritage Barbecue.
Cool.
Also, daughter of the Heritage Barbecue fan of the show. Big shout
really?
Out to her. I'm sorry, I forgot your
Sweet.
Name, but next time I'm at Heritage Barbecue. But they did this, like, pop-up together, and they were making, like, smoked brisket, like, five-spice smoked brisket bun mi.
Ooh.
They were doing panang curry with, you know, smoked short rib stock. And they made this, like, the Cambodian hot link. Or no, it wasn't a Cambodian. Oh, my God, no, it was ba la lot.
Don't
it's
know
a,
what that
oh
is.
Oh my God. Oh, Vietnamese like ground beef roll that's wrapped in beetle leaf.
Huh?
And the beetle leaf gives it right beetle leaf. They were doing beetle leaf smoked sausages, Nicole, in the American barbecue tradition. That
that's
is the beauty
really
of this,
cool.
right? You know, I don't care how many like barbecue flavored things that make no freaking sense you get around the world. I don't care about how many people think that a hot dog, you know, equates barbecue, or how many times I have said that I'm going to a barbecue and I'm really just grilling up some pork chops that I got on manager's special at the Ralph's.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that American barbecue is such an institution and has now like inspired people from around the world.
Yeah, it's cool.
Dude in LA right now is making Basterma cured American smoked brisket.
Is he? That's
right.
Crazy.
Nicole, within like 5 miles
of
here.
I know what you're talking about.
I want to go to that. He hosts like private dinners for like...
Can you just take me places? You talk about that, but you never take me, and it makes me sad.
Because you're all... It's all a Shabbat.
I've known you for 3 years.
I do with it. Listen, I respect your religion. It is all... Well, it's not my... It's my culture, but... And I don't... Listen, if I was a better Jew...
I've known you for 3 years. Just take me to these damn...
I go on Friday night and Saturday morning. That's when I go
out. I hang out on... Take me on Saturday morning. Okay. I touch electricity on Saturdays. I'm not that kind of Jew, bro. So what do we learn from this beautiful conversation, Josh?
Okay, if you really are to define barbecue,
okay,
right? Many people have tried who are a lot smarter than me. I'll quote Meathead Goldwyn here. He said, there are many legitimate definitions, including verbs, nouns, and adjectives. There's even a legal definition, which we didn't even talk about, but I'm sick of talking about legal definitions after the freaking hot dog. I just want to talk about food. One definition won't do the job. When you cut through the haze, ultimately, it is smoke that differentiates barbecue from other types of cooking. There are forms of barbecue all around the world, but it's the presence of smoke that unifies them all. So... Listen, though, if you're closing a charcoal grill, you know, spray it down a little bit. You're getting some smoke on there. If you want to consider that barbecue, you can. I don't know if I necessarily would. That said, cooking meat over open fire or with the beautiful perfumey power of low and slow smoking, baby, one of the most pure pleasures of life.
Smoke meats every day.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling around there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call, you're just not going to say it this time?
No.
Oh, well. Opinions are like, it doesn't sound right if I just, opinions are like casseroles.
Did that scare you?
I didn't like that. You went silent on me. I thought you had a little mini stroke.
No.
All right, first up, we got Mary Cassette 5. Onions are the best vegetables, so misunderstood, so versatile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love onions. Who doesn't like onions?
There's a lot of you. Emily Fleming does not like onions.
What?
She says they're rude.
What, like raw ones?
Raw ones can be intrusive. I agree. Sometimes you get a real stank onion and like you put it on a bagel with lox and you're like, yo, that onion's like a little too stank to be here right now. But if you know how to treat onions, yeah, they're like literally the best vegetable. I agree with that.
Yeah. I have a funny story about onions. Do you want to hear
it? Oh my
it?
God, Nicole, so
okay.
much. Please.
Okay, so whenever, I had like a big like group of girlfriends and we would all go to Westwood after school, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then one of my friends was going to meet up with a guy and kiss him for the first time.
Oh my God, what?
Yeah, yeah. And then we
like,
all went.
Like French style?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They were going to kiss at the Westwood parking lot.
Oh my God.
And he was an 818 guy, and we were through and out. So it was kind of like a little bit of an impassioned romance. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Montagues and Capulets, am I right?
Exactly. And then, so we all go to In-N-Out, and then she orders her burger. She goes, "Can I get a burger?" And then she looks back at us and then looks at the cashier and says, "No onions, please."
Jesus.
So that was my onion story. Did you like it?
Listen, I will be tongues deep in another person after eating kimchi and just ferment it. I do not care. I want to be. Yeah, did they kiss?
Of course they kissed.
I don't know.
At the Westwood parking lot.
Back when you were a kid, though.
That was like the kick it spot. That's where you would like hook up.
No, you'd be like 1 for 9, though. I'm like, bro, dude, he's going to kiss her today. And then he like, you know, they come back and they'd be like, "Do you kiss?" He's like, "Nah, dude, time wasn't right." So for me, I don't know if it's different having a group of guy friends. You were like,
dude,
1 for 9.
Dude, I hung out with a bunch of like brutish, like Persian boys. Like,
listen,
they don't know what that means. They don't understand like social cues very well. They learn the older they get better, but still really like the social cues are not there. So that was my onion story.
If you soak onions in ice water, it can take out the astringency, and I really like that.
Okay, Scott Conant, is that his name?
Scott Conant, he doesn't like red onions.
Yeah. Aaron Leasley says, "Beef is not that good and inferior to wild game, such as elk and venison."
I don't know. What? I don't love elk and venison that much. But I will say I would rather have lamb 9 times out of 9 than beef. Lamb to me, the more I get older, Nicole, the more my tastes refine, I realize that I just vastly prefer lamb.
I think the meat
is more tender. I think I love that strong gamey flavor. I love that it smells like blue cheese and grass out the pack. And I'll have like birria de res, right? I'll have beef birria and I'll be like, man, this is just significantly less good than lamb or goat, which are
That's
both popular
so
birria meats. Yeah, I'm kind of on this. I do not eat that much beef anymore in my own home. If I'm cooking red meat, I'm cooking pork or lamb.
I don't cook a lot of red meat at home, but I love red meat and I love eating it so much.
What's your favorite way to prep red meat? Like, what's your go to? You just like just bistro steak, pan sear, butter.
If it was up to me, I could eat a steak a day and I would be a happy girl. But like, my body won't allow that.
I did eat like a pound and a half of filet mignon on set the other day, and that it became like weirdly
like
trendy
in
foodie
in
circles.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, no, but I also ate like a pound of dates.
Oh, it helped.
So that evacuated everything real fast.
Was also
anyway, it became like a weird foodie thing to be like, filet mignon's not good.
Ribeyes
are the only way.
Screw that.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of sick of ribeyes. There's so
sometimes.
Much intramuscular fat.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes the meat's pretty tough. I love the deckle on the outside, that little outer ring.
Sure, everyone
is great. But also the best application of beef is
kebab?
No, because I would rather have lamb kebab.
No.
I'd rather have fish kebab.
No.
Rather
lamb
chicken
kebab
thigh.
More than beef kebab?
Yeah, dude.
Are you kidding me? It sits there and people don't know how to No. I hate lamb kebab.
No, dude, Texas barbecue. That's the best expression. You get a big old beef rib.
Oh, the dinosaur
that's great.
Ribs? Oh, yeah.
I mean, Korean barbecue, too. That's a great expression of beef. Cutterby.
Oh, I love
that's
meat.
Freaking fantastic. But I think it's just my rejection of, like, the American steak.
I love steak.
I love a good prime rib, though. Dang, maybe I do like beef.
I love prime. If I could, okay, I would eat prime rib every day.
I go prime rib over pretty much any steak.
Wow, I love prime rib. Thanks for reminding me how much I love it.
Just sumptuous. But no, lamb. In wild game, it's too lean. It's lean for my blood.
I like every now and then changing it up and having like a bison burger or like having a little bit of venison carpaccio. Like stuff like that is incredible.
Venison tartare is a lovely time.
Yes, I do. I've had
venison. Venison's great.
I love it. And more people should be eating it, because it is delicious, but nothing beats beef in my house.
All right, at Zafrika by Toto, cheese and chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what?
I used to actually curate cheese and chocolate boards. I don't know if I told you this.
I had a dollar. For every time Nicole talking about curating a cheese and chocolate board,
yeah,
I'd have $4.
And it was what?
Four times. I'd have $4.
I've talked about this 4 times
this
with
the
you.
Fourth. I don't know.
I feel like we both repeat stories all the time, and I don't keep count of your stories, but you always repeat them, and I let you express yourself. Must be nice. Okay, yeah, I would just pair like cheeses with chocolate. Like Manchego works really well with a 67% dark from Madagascar. Just does.
I don't feel like I'd enjoy that combination. It's not for me, and that's totally fine.
I love cheese and chocolate together. More people should do it.
I don't even like a chocolate in my cheesecake.
Okay, that's
even like
you.
That. And that's me. And listen, that's fine. You can have your own things. I feel like it should make sense in my mind, but it doesn't. I don't even like, because cheese has umami, right?
Yeah.
It's acid, it's fat, salt, it's umami.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But chocolate has all of those notes too.
I don't know if chocolate has umami. I don't think I like umami.
Dark chocolate definitely has a source of umami in it.
Yeah, I believe you. But like miso and chocolate, I don't even love.
I love miso.
And a lot of people like that. I like salt and chocolate, but salt's just good. But
Captain _ Ramius says beer can chicken is the biggest gimmick of all food things. I've never done this before.
Oh my God. Okay. So I have written recipes for beer can chicken. I wrote a guide on how to do it at Maxim. And I think I even called it a gimmick, but I was like, it's a cool gimmick.
Yeah.
So beer can chicken, for anybody who doesn't know, I also made a recipe for malt liquor chicken, which I took a 16-ounce tall boy of Old English and put it up
there.
What? Malt liquor has a lot more sugar in it, so it caramelizes nicely. But what you do, typically you could pour some of the beer out and you could brine the chicken in it, marinate it, whatever. But you take the beer can, you shove it in the chicken's cloaca.
Yes.
And then you put that on a grill or a barbecue or whatever. And so the chicken's standing up, so it has the opportunity to cook and drip down. And it's actually kind of good to stand a chicken up like that and cook it, because the breast is getting less heat, right? Because it's near the top. And so that's actually pretty good. But what happens with the beer can, people say that, oh, the beer steams the chicken from the inside.
Does it?
And no, because if you know anything about the temperature at which steam is created.
212.
212.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you're grilling a whole chicken, you would never
get to
212. You would never want to get to the point where you're boiling that. So all it's doing is insulating the heat.
Wait,
from
what do you
cooking
mean?
The chicken?
What, can't coals get to like freaking like 400, 500 degrees?
No, they definitely can. But if you're cooking a whole chicken, the temperature at which it would boil beer wouldn't make sense.
I don't
to
know.
Actually, because like chicken's internal temp, right, should only get up to what, 155?
Should is a word.
Yeah, sure.
Well, who the hell is making sure their chicken's at 155 when they're grilling?
Bro,
nobody.
If you're...
Because you and I are anomalies. We're not the average American. We have food.
The average American, the only cooking tool you should get is a meat thermometer. Use your bare freaking hands and get a meat thermometer. Say, my chicken breast is dry. There is one way to fix that, and it's temp check your freaking meats.
Yeah, I agree, but people don't do that.
They don't do that. So the beer literally just stops the inside of the chicken from cooking because it's insulating heat and it's sucking all of it up trying to get to that 212 and it never does.
I think we need to do a test on this.
I agree.
I don't
That'd
agree with your science, Josh. This is an alternative science fact.
It's such a fun thing though.
Yeah.
You know, to see a beer can shoved in a chicken cloaca.
The
gimmick.
Okay, Josh, this is gonna blow your mind. Did you know that beer can is, if you say it in a Jamaican accent, it sounds like bacon?
Did you know that
you know that?
I speak in a Jamaican accent,
I'm not telling you. I'm just saying. I never told you to do it. I said, did you know that if
there
you
was
did,
a website devoted to it, you'd click on a Rastafarian man's face.
Really?
And one said beer can and one said bacon, and he said the same word. You never went to that website?
No.
There was another one, too. It was the whole website. And that was what we did for entertainment as kids because we didn't have TikTok. We'd go click on the Rastafarian man, and he'd say beer can, and then he would say bacon, but it sounded the same in his
accent.
I
just remember badger, 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 mushroom, mushroom, but that's just
don't
me.
Remember that.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
All right. At Coleosis 07, bananas covered in sriracha and fish sauce is the best way to eat bananas.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Listen. Bananas, the way that we eat them in America is not the only way to eat bananas. You know what I mean? I don't know if this is an actual recipe or if this dude's freestyling, but I watched a video yesterday of a savory banana roti being made in Thailand. And that was the thing. It was bananas and eggs. They were making a banana egg roti. And that's part of it. I think we need to, you go to Sweden, you got the banana pizza. America, they're wrapping bananas in ham. Nicole, you seen what they're doing with the bananas in America? They're wrapping them in ham. So I'm saying, it's not just peanut butter, it's not just, you know,
banana
and banana pudding.
And fish sauce is an audible gag for me.
We're going to go try it.
Josh, no.
Why not? The sweet, you know, playing off the salty fish sauce, it could be good.
That's really screwed up in my mind. An audible gag for hours. I can't even.
Yeah, listen, if I actually imagine doing it and I'm trying to put myself in that place, that is not a pleasant experience for me.
I'm sweating.
I don't know. What I would dip cucumbers in fish sauce, you know, in sriracha.
Yeah, that's
banana.
Fine.
What's a banana but a yellow, mushy, sweeter cucumber, Nicole?
I'm going to throw up. Okay, hold on. Composure.
You got this.
Wolf Jen says, I dip my peanut butter and jelly sandwich in chicken noodle soup. My friends hate it, but it's the best sweet salty combo. I feel like someone else did this too.
Yeah, this is a. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I feel like it's just your childhood. Like, it's like that's your comfort food.
Yeah, it's the grilled cheese and tomato soup. Yeah. But transposed. At TristanH172, I like this one. Is cheese a loaf of milk? Absolutely.
No.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Of course it is. It's a milk loaf.
No, it's not.
To turn meat into meatloaf, you loaf it and you cook it. That's all you do in cheese. You're cooking it and then you're loafing it. You're letting it set.
I'm so sorry. You know what's a loaf of milk? Huh? Milk with gelatin in it. That's a loaf of milk.
It's not a loaf of milk. That's milk
jello.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing. It's
no,
a loaf
it's not.
Of milk.
No, a loaf of milk.
Josh,
because milk jello can't stand up at other temperatures. Wait, we got to do one more. We got to do this last
okay.
one because I love it.
Mr. Morgan Blazing says sommeliers make everything up.
Yeah, no, they're like David. They're like magicians. They're like David Blaine out there just lying to your face.
Is David Blaine the first David magician you think of? I think of Copperfield.
You think of Copperfield?
Of course.
I feel like David Blaine lies less than David Copperfield, too.
David Copperfield is so charming.
He's lied
look at
to
beautiful
people,
he
is. He's in his old age, he's incredibly handsome as
yeah.
well.
David
Bro,
Blaine?
He made the Statue of Liberty disappear. That's
Who?
Messed up.
Who did?
That is David Copperfield. Look
really?
It up, man.
David Blaine, like, swallows glass
yeah,
and ties his lips
glasses.
Together.
Yeah, see, that's different. David Blaine's just like, I'm going to survive 90 hours submerged in a block of ice. And then he just does it. That's not even a magic trick. That's just him being a freaking madman.
Yeah.
David Copperfield is just like, I'm going to have editors scrub out the Statue of Liberty. And that's the kind of lying that sommeliers do to you at restaurants.
No.
They're trying to upsell you
no.
on wines. They're like, oh, that wine, that's really nice. But, you know, if you really want a better wine, you pay me $70 more.
David Copperfield looks like John Stamos, except a little uglier. Look at him. Handsome.
Oh, he's hot, dude. He's
a
dark-featured, handsome man, angular.
No, I think sommeliers, I think they lie a little bit.
yeah, they lie as much
like,
as anybody
like
does.
Like, they say, this tastes like dandelion from New Zealand. And you're like, uh-huh.
Well, no, here's the thing. That's I
hot.
Believe that they're not lying when they say that. What I believe they're lying about is when you go, I think I really taste the minerality. And they go, yeah, that's when they're lying to you.
Interesting.
Is when you say wrong stuff and they're trying to get, you know, their tip and trying to sell wine. So they're not going to tell you that you're wrong. But again, all wine is subjective. But moreover, sommeliers are scamming you in the same way that mechanics, dentists, jewelry salesmen, teachers.
Gosh,
with their GoFundMes. No, I'm kidding. Fund public education.
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Well, on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mathical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions or like Casserole, sorry I didn't say it last time.
That's all good.
If you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hindizada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole. Or if you want, you can leave us a voicemail, which is really, really exciting. Give us a ring and leave a quick message at 833-DOG-POD-1.
Yeah, and for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.